Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Things may change, but I think our music will stay the same, Dave, because I like as much as I hate the Chicago Blackhawks, and believe me, I hate the Chicago Blackhawks. I like their goal scoring song. I do.
It's kind of hard to catchy. Hate on the Blackhawks too much nowadays. They're abysmal.
I mean, I'm glad they're abysmal. Yes. I mean, it's as opposed to the Blues, who are just mired in mediocrity, though. Congrats to Jordan Binnington for representing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like me asking to feel sympathy for the Penguins for the 8-3 drubbing yesterday. It's like, no, they should have got 10, you know.
Oh, no. So, hello, everyone. This is your good friend, Patrick O'Dowd. You, of course, have heard the voice of David Ungar. We are welcoming you into the newly renamed podcast, formerly known as Musical Chairs. Henceforth, until we come up with a better name, because sometimes that happens, we'll be known as the Four Corners Podcast, covering the four corners of sports, all four corners, as we started to learn more and more that Dave and I like to talk about a little bit more than hockey. Now, that doesn't mean that hockey's going to go away. And in fact, today is probably going to be a pretty hockey-centric episode, because haven't been on the air with this show for quite some time now. This is our first time back in, 4 weeks?
It's been a while.
Minimum?
It's been a long time.
It's been a spell. I have been on a journey since late January that, folks, if you have not gotten caught a cold or the flu this season, don't. That shit is no joke. I've done two podcasts. Really, since getting sick, I did one with Greg DeMarco where the running joke was the cough button and him playing a soundbite while I coughed. And then I had one blissful Sunday where Dave was out sick, but my voice had recovered enough that I could do Bandwagon Nerds. And I did one episode of Bandwagon Nerds. Now we're here on Tuesday. You will hear my lovely voice. You have heard my lovely voice if you listen to Bandwagon Nerds this past Monday. So we got that going for us. But, you know, there's even with us not being on the air, Dave, and I've missed you, by the way. I've missed our chats. There's been a lot going on.
We've been talking. I mean, it's not, I mean, behind
I mean, we message, we text. Yeah, there's things like that. But it's not the same as when we get to go on these podcasts and talk about our respective teams or sports and things like that. And we're gonna spend a good chunk of time today talking about the Four Nations Face-Off. We're gonna talk, you know, hockey has resumed post Four Nations Face-Off, so we've got teams on the ice. Awesome to report that my St. Louis Blues promptly lost in a shootout. Go team!
They're still right in the thick of it. There is that.
Right. And, you know, and to go along with that, you know, Major League Baseball starting to kick up. We now have spring training games, which means baseball is back on some level and some degree. And we can all watch the most expensive team in history, the Los Angeles Dodgers, I don't know how many games are they actually gonna lose this year.
What's the record? The Yankees, or is it the Yankees or the Mariners who have the record? I forget which one, but it's
like, well, it's gonna be threatened. So yeah, so I figured today
let's go with
it would be fun.
120-42. Yeah, that sounds about right.
For wow, them. That's nuts. But I figured today to get us back into the big thing. I don't want to talk about college basketball or professional basketball. I don't care about basketball.
You called your shot there. Yeah.
Illinois, I had said that I was settling in to watch Illinois get mollywalloped by Duke. And not only did they get mollywalloped by Duke, it was the biggest loss in terms of point deficit in program history. They lost by 43 on national television in Madison Square Garden in a completely uncompetitive game. A basketball team that in January, people were talking about having Final Four potential, looks utterly and completely lost, defeated, and disinterested in the game of basketball. And it was embarrassing to watch. So I don't want to talk about that. What I do want to do is take our first commercial break, and we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the best all-star game in sports. The best all-star system in sports. And it's not MLB, it's not the NFL, and it certainly isn't the NBA. So stick around for that. We will be right back. You are listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on Chair Shot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions, and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance, but if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Four Corners Podcast. Patrick O'Dowd, Dave and Ungar giving you the fastest snapshot of Four Corners of sports. So we're only going to cover two corners today. And we're going to start with All-Star Game, because last week, two major sports organizations held All-Star festivities. And to say that one was far superior to the other, objectively, in my opinion, is an understatement. I'm, of course, referring to the NBA All-Star Game, which, if you were on the site formerly known as Twitter on X and just reading the tweets, people now hate watch the All-Star Game, the NBA All-Star Game. Nobody enjoys doing it. It is an effort in futility because nobody cares. Steph Curry's chucking up half-court shots. Like, it's not fun. It's not interesting, and nobody wants it. And then you compare that to what the NHL did. And I'm sorry, I've always loved NHL All-Star Week, or, you know, whether it was with the skills competitions, which I loved the skills competitions, and of all the things that went away with this new Four Nations face-off thing, the skills competition I'm going to miss. Like, it's fucking cool to watch, you know, somebody hitting targets on a goal or recording, you know, the fastest slap shots and stuff like that. Like, that's awesome. The year in Vegas when they did the, like, golf-like game where they were lifting pucks onto pads of ice and trying to hit targets, that was cool. All of that being said, the NHL this year, instead of doing a traditional All-Star game, did this Four Nations face-off with the United States, Canada, Finland, and
Sweden.
As the Four Nations, players representing their countries in a round-robin tournament that then led to a championship matchup this past Thursday. And to say that it was, I don't even know where to begin with this other than to start with the first time Canada and the United States faced off. And here's what was really amazing about this whole thing and this atmosphere. So that first game played in Canada, the Canadian people made it was a political theater as much as it was an All-Star game because of...
Can I just say for the first time?
Go ahead.
Thank you, Trump. Because he really fueled a lot of that shit. I mean, that reaction...
Well, and I'm not going to, because it's sad. And to sit there and to be as a president being like, you're going to be our 51st state to a country, to a sovereign nation, is... I was so embarrassed for our country with that regard. And people, and then what was funny is, you know, people on social media getting outraged because Canadians had the audacity to boo the opponent and their national anthem for a country that's saying, we're going to take you over. And you're like, how dare they? What the fuck?
They've done it before. But even before all this shit happened, they would boo the anthem.
Right. But here's the thing, is it created an atmosphere that was supercharged and made for an excellent pair of hockey games, because we got one in Canada and we got the rematch in Boston. And, you know, the puck drops in less than 10 seconds into the game, puck drops, and we got one of the Tkachuk brothers in a fight. And we put him in the box, we drop the puck in, and the other Tkachuk brother gets into a fight. And then a minute into the game, we got a third fight. I can't even remember who the third American was that dropped gloves in front of the Canadian net. And it was on. From there on, it was on. And the United States wins that match. They would go on to, I think they beat Finland in regulation to propel themselves
They beat Finland.
They beat
6-1.
All three teams. They won.
They lost to, but they
lost to Sweden?
Yeah, they lost 2-1. They were kind of injured. You know, that was where I think Matthew Tkachuk is the one who had the injury problems in the championship game. And he checked out after like the first period. And I think Sweden went on to win that game. The Americans had already clinched by then. So it was like, all right,
they were in.
But the two Tkachuk brothers basically came up with this plan at the beginning. You know, they're like, let's just start fighting with people. It set the tone for... I mean, by the time you got there, like the first round, the first games were already, you know, okay, there's something different happening here. The intensity level is way higher than we thought it was. And especially that Canada and Sweden had the first game that went to overtime. Everything had such a different feel to it. Like, and I know you want to draw the comparison to the NBA All-Star game. There is no comparison.
That's the thing, is like, these players gave a shit. And I think that's the thing that was very, very evident, is that when it comes to hockey and Canada wins the championship, they defeat the United States, return the favor, Jordan Binnington turns into a wall late, even though there were some opportunities, and he can do that. You know, the United States had a chance to win it in overtime, missed their opportunity, and you don't let Nate McKinnon?
Connor McDavid. They let Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid left him alone in the slot. He's going to make that. 9 times out of 10, he's going to make that shot. And he did, and Canada wins. And at the end of it, after, you know, to bring this back to the social media stupidity, for all the Americans who were like, suck it, Canada, when you won the game in the round robin, awful quiet. And you know what? That's, we kind of reap what we sowed there.
I mean, you don't have a little bit. It's like both games are tremendous.
Amazing hockey.
I was messaging you. I don't know if you're watching the championship or
I was. So Thursday, I bowl on Thursdays. Right. So it was on the big TV, and I had to work the next day. So I went to bed early. So I missed the end of the game. I saw that it was tied 2-2.
Yeah, such a great game. And I mean, yeah, not only did the U.S. have chances in overtime, they dominated overtime. Auston Matthews has Jordan Binnington beaten dead to rights 3 times in that overtime. And Jordan just, you know, and Jordan Binnington got a lot of shit coming into this thing because he does let in the softies every once in a while. But when he had to, he was a wall. Hallerbuck played his ass off. Like you said, you can't blame him for the goal by McDavid. You can't leave the best player in the world 20 feet away from you in the slot, uncovered. He's going to bury that, like you said, 9 out of 10 times. And, you know, it was just, it was a great game. Gritty. The Americans really, you got to give them credit, the United States, for just not letting Canada do what Canada normally does, which is just beat you with skill and speed. They just shut them down. And they, you make a strong argument, they should have won the game. I'm still trying to figure out how.
But they didn't.
They didn't. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out how Auston Matthews didn't score that one, that beautiful pass. I forget who makes the pass to him right under some guy's stick. He's got Binnington point blank, and he just doesn't elevate the puck enough. But I mean, the thing about the tournament is that it was such a success. It's like the first time that you had the best on best in what, like a decade? You know, it's been like 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah.
And like you said, did it matter to the players? Hell yes, it mattered to the players. Did it matter to the fans? Absolutely. You look at the ratings, 9 million people tuned in. That's the most watched NHL game ever or since the Stanley Cup finals. So it's a massive success. And yeah, they can build on this. They can improve on it. You know, it is interesting. You know, where's Russia? But Russia's got its own problems, and the reasons why they're not there are well documented. You know, we'll see. I mean, this is a great league. And the best part to me, Pat, is this feeds into this rivalry, which is now going to bubble over and percolate for the next year because the Olympics are coming up and this all starts over again. And then it's even bigger. Now you got an Olympic gold medal on the line. So, yeah, when you compare this to just the bullshit going on with the NBA All-Star game that no one cares about. I know you want to talk about the NFL, you know, the pro, whatever you want to call the Pro Bowl now.
Oh, no, I just think when you look at All-Star games across the board, like if you look at the quote unquote big four, you look at the NFL, which is now a flag football game, which whatever, like,
I mean, I get it. Because they're going to make flag football an Olympic sport. So it's like, okay, well, let's introduce this to people who may be unfamiliar with it.
But you have that, you have whatever the fuck the NBA All-Star game is. And, you know, Major League Baseball, I think, is a distant number two, but it still doesn't, like, you know, the MLB All-Star game, you're going to see most of the starters maybe get 2 at-bats. You're going to see pitching changes basically every inning. Like, it's not what it was, no matter how. And I guess it's fair to ask, and maybe this is where we go, like, do we need All-Star games? What do All-Star games serve other than revenue?
I mean, what they did with the Four Nations, I'm all in favor of. But there's enough. Hockey's unique because there's enough parity between the nations involved that you can pull off something like that. And it's pretty even. Every team won at least one game. You know, Finland scared the shit out of Canada that last game because they came back from 4-0 or 3-0 down to get within like a goal. You know, you look at the other sports and say, well, could they replicate that in the other sports? NFL, of course not. NBA is too lopsided. you know, USA would just dominate. Major League Baseball could possibly do something similar, like a World Baseball Classic.
They already have the World Baseball Classic. Right. I don't know that. I do think hockey is unique in its ability to do this in a way that other sports are not. I would love to know, and I haven't looked, but I would be very interested to know what kind of ratings the NBA pulled and what kind of revenue the NBA pulled.
When did they have
for their All-Star game?
Yeah, I don't know when they had their All-Star game, but was it last weekend?
Yeah, it was last weekend.
Because there's like, you know, not to bring wrestling into this whole thing, but the whole conversation about AEW Collision drawing a million viewers for like the first 20 minutes, because they all carried over from the NBA. And then it dropped in half by the time they got 30 minutes into it. So, you know, if that's all that they were drawing was a million for the All-Star, and I don't know, and that's just me speculating.
No, we have the internet. Let's just do this.
We have Google.
NBA All-Star.
Tony would just ask Rock about
it. Game ratings or viewership. According to this, it averaged 4.7 million viewers, which was a 13% decrease and the second lowest viewership in NBA history. That tells you everything you need to know. Like, people don't care. People don't want to watch guys just fucking around. Like, and I get it, 4.7 million people still like watched, but you know, the NBA has got to look in the mirror on that. And it's the same thing with Major League Baseball. Nobody watches the Pro Bowl. Like, nobody watches the Pro Bowl. So I think that you can say all you want. And the other thing that happens with the Pro Bowl, and I don't know if it happens with the NBA All-Star game, people drop out of the Pro Bowl left and right. Like, get selected, don't play.
And like the Fournette. Okay, so think about this. 9.252 million viewers on ESPN for the final, more than any non-Olympic hockey game on record in the United States. When is the last time you saw the NHL double up the NBA in ratings on anything? It's never happened. I care.
Yeah. It's not even close.
Even a hardcore NBA fan like our friend Ray Cash would have to admit that the NHL hit a home run.
And the thing is it's such a base thing, but the whole like instilling national pride in a game makes a difference.
No, like in your saying, people drop out of the Pro Bowls all the time. No, I'm not going to do it. Nobody was dropping out of this. People wanted to be in.
People wanted to be in.
Tom Wilson for the Caps had nobody in the Four Nations tournament, which is mind numbing to me. But I get it. But Tom Wilson was like, after that first game, he's like, oh man, I wish I was there playing for Canada. You know, he would have been in the middle of a fight, that sort of thing.
Yeah, there was so much that could have been done.
There was a big argument that Logan Thompson could have been the goalie for Canada. So there were guys who got left out who really wanted to be a part of it, but you have to make those cuts somewhere. And it was very different. And I don't think, and you listen to the guys talk as the tournament went on, especially like Mark Messier, Subban, those guys talking about how they just didn't see this coming. You know,
did you see the video, by the way, of Messier and Subban reacting to the game winning goal in the championship game? Yeah. I'm sorry. You know, I get it. Fuck Canada, but like, hey,
I know.
It was still a great moment. Even they gave a shit. Yeah. Like, even the people covering the game gave a shit. So, yes, this week's episode of the Four Corners Podcast, everybody gave a shit. That's what this is. But it's crazy. It's a lot of fun. And I hope the NHL keeps this. I think they will. There's no way they can't.
No, they're onto a formula. The question is, how often do you do it? Because you can't, you probably can't do it next year because you've got the, or maybe you can. I mean, maybe they say, fuck it, let's do it.
Well, but if they do take a break for the Olympics and they do it that way, then I don't know that you need to. That becomes your All-Star break. So
they're bringing the World Cup of Hockey back in 2028, I believe. So you've got at least one year.
It's an off year sort of thing when those other big ones aren't happening. So, all right, we're going to take our second commercial break. When we come back, we are going to head down south. Head over to Florida and Arizona. Talk a little grapefruit and cactus. That's right. Baseball season is upon us. looking forward to a terrible baseball season myself, and I'm going to tell you all about it when we come back. You're listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the ChairShot Radio Network, a part of thechairshot.com.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back into the Four Corners Podcast. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar, giving you all of our all of the highlights of the sporting world, all four corners of the sporting universe. If you like what we're doing over here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com, remember to head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your ChairShot swag needs. No big holidays coming up. St. Patrick's Day. I don't know that there's a shirt that screams St. Patrick's Day. I like the day. It's a good day for me personally, but you know, kiss me, I'm Irish. Pinch me, I'm Irish. Do something to me, I'm Irish.
Do something to me, I'm Irish.
Hell yeah. All right. Well, while we were gone, the Super Bowl came and went. Everybody celebrated the dismantling of the Kansas City Chiefs by the Philadelphia Eagles, except for apparently Dave.
I just didn't care about either of those teams, but I I can't root for the Eagles for obvious reasons. So I was begrudgingly hoping for a three-peat. But it's like hate watching, like you talked about earlier. I hate watch that Super Bowl.
It's fine. You could just see very early that this game was not going to be a game, and that was a lot of fun for those who wanted to see Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift look sad. So I'm glad we got all that. But it's February. It's late February. We're heading into March, and that of course means that pitchers and catchers reported. And then the players showed up, and baseball season is underway. And Dave and I, just full disclosure, sports are terrible for me right now. I'm a Bears fan. I'm a Blues fan. I'm a Cardinal fan for baseball. College sports, I'm a University of Illinois fan. Professional basketball, I'm technically a Bulls fan. So I got nothing, really. And in the past, when I've had nothing, at least hoped sprung eternal that the perennial contender that was the St. Louis Cardinals would give me a reason to follow sports through the summer. And it's gone. It's all training. Gone. And here's the thing. So I'm going to rant about my team real quick, and then we'll move on from the Cardinals. Because I do think, the Dodgers are the prohibitive favorite, without question. They've spent a bajillion dollars. They don't care about their luxury tax. They've got contracts that just frankly shouldn't be allowed to happen in Major League Baseball, but they keep happening. And they're basically getting what they want and buying their way to a championship. And because them is the rules, like that's what you get. And until something happens that alters that, them is the rules, and they can afford to do what they're doing. The Cardinals, on the other hand, had a disaster of a season last year, and has had in steady decline since the last time they attended a World Series and were defeated by the Boston Red Sox, that finally felt like, to a lot of fans, came to a head last season. You don't make the playoffs. You're only two games over 500 for the season. You've got an aging Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado that's losing his both offensive and defensive ability. It just does not look like this is a team that's in a place to contend. And so at the end of the season, when he gets announced that John Mozeliak, a guy who should have quit or should have resigned at the end of this past season, was like, nope, I got one more year before we transition to a new general manager. He's going to work on the farm system, where it was revealed that they literally had like four major coaches of any sort within their AAA program, which was about 10 less than every other baseball team in Major League Baseball. And they said, we're going to do a reset. And they called it a reset. We're going to do a reset this offseason. We're going to do a reset. And it all starts with, we got to move on from Paul Goldschmidt. So we're not going to re-sign Paul Goldschmidt. And we're going to work to trade Nolan Arenado. Now, the problem with that was that Nolan Arenado has full control over trades and can reject any trade, and basically gave the Cardinals a list of like five teams that he was willing to go to. And one of those teams that didn't make the list but put an offer on the table were the Houston Astros. They offered up a trade. The Cardinals put it in front of Arenado. Arenado used his no trade clause, rejected it. And then the Cardinals couldn't move him. Thought maybe they'd move him to Boston. Well, Boston goes in a different direction. Who did they pick up? They got Bregman. Sorry, his name was eluding me. And so reporting day one this past week to Cardinals spring training, Nolan Arenado. And that's it. The Cardinals, the Cardinals signed one player in the offseason, a minor league contracted relief pitcher from like the Kansas City Royals or the Minnesota Twins or something. Like, they literally did nothing. And on one side, okay, but you didn't clear out anything. You could have traded away Ryan Helsley. And look, I get it. He was the best. He's the reason the Cardinals were two games over 500. Because he really was a lights out closer when he came into the game. Like, the Cardinals won more 1 and 2 run games than like any other team in Major League Baseball. Like, the majority of their wins, like 40 some wins, were by 1 or 2 runs because nobody can hit on the team. Nobody can hit at all. And they did nothing to address any of that. They're banking on player progression with the guys that they have. They wanted to trade Nolan Arenado. They failed. And so now they have this guy who, now rumors are picking up that the Astros might be back on the table for Nolan Arenado. I don't know what will happen that will make him change his mind, except that maybe Arenado overestimated his own value and might take the Astros up because he wants to go to a team that'll contend, and Houston will contend. So maybe we do that. But, you know, when I look at the rest of baseball and what other teams did or didn't do, to sit and stand pat and to see that, you know, the Brewers and the Cubs are the teams to beat in the Central, the Mets and the Braves still looking strong in the East. And then you've got the Phillies, though, are kind of at the end of their, like, this might be the end of their window with a lot of their guys starting to age out. You know, their core is still there. They're going to be great. They're going to be great this year, but this could be the last kind of run with that. And then you head over to the West and you've got the Dodgers. You've got, I don't know what to make of the Padres. Like, they spend, but are they the team that you wanted to be? I have no faith in the Giants. It really is the Dodgers.
I mean, the Diamondbacks are an interest, but I think,
well, but they were a good story, but nobody saw them coming last year. Yeah. Like, really?
Yeah. I mean, from my standpoint, of course, I'm a Nats fan and an Orioles, and I'm actually more interested in the Nats. I mean, the Nats are my team. The Orioles are my backup team. They're my American League team. But like with the Orioles, it's like, there's a few things I know. They're going to be good. They're going to, you know, do really well in the regular season. Can they win a fucking playoff game or a series? And that has been their Achilles heel for the past 2 years. It's like, yeah, 2 years ago, they kind of came out of nowhere and surprised the world. Last year, not so much. Everybody kind of expected that. But, you know, can they compete with the Yankees? The Yankees don't have Soto anymore, so I don't think they're going to be quite as good as they were a year ago. They'll still be dangerous.
What about Toronto, though?
And Toronto is an interesting proposition. The Red Sox with Bregman, you know, is he a difference maker that's going to put them in? The AL East is going to be very competitive, much more so than it has been, because you're looking at, you know, four teams who can all, you know, challenge you and do sort of stuff. The Nats, to me, are an interesting story because since they won the World Series in 2019 and then 2020, of course, the pandemic year, and everything went wrong. And they never got out of their own way, and they traded everybody to the Dodgers, and Soto ends up going from here to here to here. They seem to be now at the point where the rebuild may be nearing an end, and maybe you're looking at them saying, okay, right, they could be a 500 team right now. And then if you're a 500 team, you're really a couple of players away. They didn't do a whole lot in free agency, but they did enough to kind of, you know, they brought back Josh Bell. So they're going to be a curious kind of thing. I mean, but like you're saying,
right,
they are not competing in the NL East with the Mets, with the Braves, and with the Phillies. And you know, they're going to be battling it out with the Marlins for the cellar, that sort of thing. Can they sneak in a wild card? When you look at how loaded the NL is, probably not.
Well, It's fascinating. You know, we talked about the NL and the two forgotten divisions in all of baseball, the American League West and the American League Central. You know, AL Central has the worst baseball team in the country in the Chicago White Sox.
I heard they were already eliminated from playoff contention.
Yes, I think they're going to go 0-162 is word on the street. What's fun about the AL Central is you don't really know what to make of them because you've got Cleveland, Kansas City was a surprise last year. Minnesota's always solid. Like they're always solid. They're always kind of there. And just they may not win the division, but they're always a wild card threat. But then you look over at the West and it's like you've got the Astros and the Astros. Like, does anybody else really scare you over in the West?
Well, the Angels are the Angels. You know, Seattle, maybe.
I mean, Seattle was a little bit of a surprise, but
Seattle could.
Are they better than Houston?
Oh, no, no. It's the Astros division to lose. Who else is in the AL West? The A or who are they? The A's,
the Rangers. It's the A's, the Rangers, the Mariners, the Angels, and the Astros.
I mean, and Oakland is, I don't know what the hell you call them anymore.
Vegas.
They're not in Vegas yet. Where are they? They're playing at Sacramento State or something like that this year.
Yeah, right.
So
it's like when the Coyotes played in the Arizona State.
Yeah. I mean, the West is all about Houston. One team you didn't mention in the Central that I think you do have to keep. I mean, we know about Cleveland. The Detroit Tigers are a team that scared the shit out of people last year. Made the playoffs. Scared some people in the playoffs. You know, can they continue that run and that momentum? They remind me a lot of the Orioles 2 years ago, where the O's kind of came out of nowhere, did some stuff. Detroit kind of like they just got hot at the end. And I, you know, Detroit is a team that they could win that division if things break a certain way. If the Guardians slip up a little bit, you know, I'm looking at Detroit saying, that's a team. Yeah, the NL Central, your division, is going to be interesting. The Brewers and the Cubs. And that sort of thing.
Yeah, and the thing about the Central Division is, and this in there, at least this was true last year, and maybe it will be true this year. Who knows? Because I will say, usually, like one division sort of fluctuates in both the AL and the NL as kind of quote unquote the best, and the Central was that for a few years. They're by no means that this year. Every time I've doubted the Brewers. And guys, they've lost. They just keep on winning. And the Cubs should be better. You know, Craig Counsell's a good coach. I don't know, but the Cubs didn't really do anything in the offseason either. And so it's kind of like they're running it back. So I think that the NL Central is going to be another middling division. But I do think that the Brewers should be the prohibitive favorite.
It's interesting. Like the AL,
but I don't think they're going to win a World Series. I don't think they're going to win. I don't even know if any team in the Central wins a series in the playoffs.
If you think about it, the AL East and the NL East, you can say two most competitive divisions in baseball right now, from top to bottom. You look at the teams involved; those teams are going to beat the shit out of each other. The AL Central and the NL Central probably the two most interesting divisions in baseball, because I don't know, you know, how that whole thing turns out. And then the West, there's a top dog that's clearly evident, the Dodgers and the Astros, and then everybody else fighting to try and maybe win the wild card. So it's weird how the two leagues, like the divisions, are kind of mirroring each other.
Right.
But yeah, I think it'll be, of course, the question is, A, do the Dodgers break the wins record? B, is there anybody who could step up? Maybe the Mets can challenge them somewhat.
Let's also be real here. For all that the Dodgers spend on talent, 4 years, like this isn't exactly new. How many World Series do they have to show for?
One in a bubble and one for real.
Right. So it's really interesting that, you know, no matter, you still got to play the games. And you still got to see who actually wins the games. So, I'm looking. I don't even know if I'm looking forward to baseball. I used to love watching. Like, baseball used to be the sport that whatever the national broadcast was, it didn't matter to me who was playing. I would stop and watch it. And I don't know if it's just that my franchise has left a poor taste in my mouth. and really turned me off of it. But I'm actually like, oh, I see the UFL is coming back. Maybe I'll watch that instead.
Yes. Major League Lacrosse. Isn't that starting out? MLS
is
back.
It's MLS is back. It was on TV yesterday, I noticed. All right.
I mean, but like,
we are running up on time here, Dave. Oh, go ahead.
That's a perfect example, right, of what you're just talking about. You can't buy a title. MLS, Inter Miami, has Lionel Messi and all these other guys. What happened in the playoffs? Eliminated
Done.
The first game. So you never, and we've seen that time and time again. You cannot buy a championship. You got to have the right people at the right time, the right chemistry. So yeah, like you're right. The right. Dodgers spent all
now,
this money.
That's not to say that money doesn't help.
Oh, it does.
Okay. Just like money helps us when you go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot and order a shirt, it helps keep us going. If you are a Dodgers fan, you spend money, you're going to make the playoffs every year. You have that gold standard. It's the same thing with the Yankees. The problem is the Yankees don't invest in they only invest in half the game. They invest in the offensive side of the game. They don't get pitching.
And their farm system is so-so.
Well, they sell it all off. Yeah. So, all right, we are up on it for time, Dave. So this is going to do it for the inaugural edition of the Four Corners Podcast. Before we get out of here, though, tell everybody where they can find you on the Chair Shot Radio Network and on the socials if you are so inclined.
Yeah, you can find me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
Cool. And you can find me on the various socials at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. That includes X, Blue Sky, Insta, all of that fun stuff. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Monday's talking nerdy stuff with Dave and PC Tunney and Ray Cash, and sometimes DPP, amongst a cavalcade of other wacky, zany hosts. Tuesdays, Four Quarter Podcast, talking sports with Dave. And Wednesdays, when we feel like it, talking wrestling on the Greg DeMarco Show with my best friend, Greg DeMarco. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's edition of the Four Corners Podcast. We will be back next week to talk to you all about the comings and goings and the happenings in all four corners of the sports world. Until then, this is Patrick O'Dowd wishing you a good week. We'll see you next time on the Four Corners Podcast.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.